عليكم السلام ورحمة الله.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله، عدك عدنان.
Okay, inshallah, we'll just start then, inshallah. Okay, إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، so this is a very important hadith actually. It's the hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, which I'm sure you all heard. But this is the narration which is presented in Bukhari. And we're continuing obviously with the book of Iman, and obviously this is relevant to that. So the chapter heading which Bukhari brings is Jibreel asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Iman, Islam, and Ihsan, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. One day while the Prophet was sitting in the company of some people, the angel Jibreel came and asked, "What is faith?" Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "Faith is to believe in Allah, His angels, the meeting with Him, His apostles, and to believe in the resurrection." Then he further asked, "What is Islam?" Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, or replied, "To worship Allah alone and no one else, to offer prayers perfectly, to pay the compulsory charity zakat, and to observe the fasts during the month of Ramadan." Then he further asked, "What is Ihsan?" Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, "To worship Allah as if you see Him. And if you cannot achieve this state of devotion, then you must consider that He is looking at you." Then he further asked, "When will the hour be established?" Allah's Messenger ﷺ replied, "The answerer has no better knowledge than the questioner, but I will inform you about its portents or its signs. When a slave lady gives birth to her master, and when the shepherds of black camels start boasting and competing with others in the construction of taller buildings. And the hour is one of the five things which nobody knows except Allah." The Prophet ﷺ then recited, "Verily with Allah alone is the knowledge of the hour." Then that man, Jibreel, that is, left, and the Prophet asked his companions to call him back, but they could not see him, they couldn't find him. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, "That was Jibreel who came to teach the people their religion." Abu Abdullah said, "He, the Prophet ﷺ, considered all that as a part of faith." Okay. So, any points that are important that we can get from that hadith, just briefly, and then we'll go into the actual explanation of Sheikh Abdul Razak. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so Jibreel came in the form of a man, and sometimes the angels can appear in the form of a man. Yeah. And why do you think Jibreel was asking questions?
So that because he was sitting in the company of people,
yeah,
and maybe it was important for them to hear those questions which define the religion, framework of the religion, main principles.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously Jibreel knew of those answers. He knew the answers. But it was a way to show people or to help them learn these points and to make it sort of memorable. Yeah. Good. And then what about the actual questions and the answers? Anyone online want to say?
So these are the pillars of Iman and pillars of Islam.
Yeah, that's right, exactly, yeah. So obviously the pillars of Islam and the pillars of Iman. And we'll go in more detail, actually, Because Sheikh Abdulrazak mentions some nice points with regards to each one. So we can go into that in more detail. Okay, good. Okay, so I'll go into his explanation. So what Sheikh Abdulrazak mentions, and actually the original summarized Sahih al-Bukhari, it removes the chapter headings completely. But I think in this publication or in publications now, they actually put the chapter headings back in, but they haven't always put them in fully. So sometimes it might be slightly confusing. But if you go back to the original Bukhari, the completion of what Bukhari said is there. وَبَيَانِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَهُ ثُمَّ قَالَ جَاءَ جِبْرِيلُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ يُعَلِّمُكُمْ دِينَكُمْ. So the actual point that Bukhari was really focusing on was the last part of the hadith, where the Prophet said that Jibril came to teach you your deen. فَجَعَلَ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ دِينًا. So he considered all of these things part of the deen: Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. Oops, sorry. Yeah. وَمَا بَيَّنَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِوَفْدِ عَبْدِ الْقَيْسِ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And sort of similar scenario happened, and we'll cover this in another hadith, about the delegation from Abd al-Qais, which was like a tribe who came. وَقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. And whoever wishes to follow other than Islam as a religion, then it will never be accepted from him. So again, the main point that Bukhari is focusing on, sometimes he would just get one little point out of the whole hadith. But the hadith of Jibril, where Iman, Islam, and Ihsan are mentioned, and he discussed all of this, and all of this was referred to as being deen. Okay. And that's the ayah, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ. And now, this is just a bit of a technical point, so I won't go into hopefully too much detail. But Bukhari had the opinion that Islam and Iman, they can always be used interchangeably. So Islam sometimes may refer to just the Islam, and sometimes also may be referring to Iman, but it's always together. That meaning is always under the heading of Islam. And likewise, Iman will cover all the aspects of the deen of Islam, Iman, Ihsan. Everything is all, it always has the same meaning. Okay. I hope that makes sense. Yeah. Probably the majority of scholars, however, say that Islam and Iman refer to slightly different meanings. Okay, although there is obviously an overlap. And so Islam primarily refers to the outward actions. Okay. And Iman refers to the inward beliefs. Okay. And it kind of is indicated by the hadith itself, because when the Prophet mentioned about Iman, he talked about belief in Allah and the angels and so on. And when he talked about Islam, he talked about the actual pillars and the practice. Okay. And then again, this is a slightly technical point, but the scholars mentioned that when you mention Islam on its own, it covers the meaning of Islam and Iman. And when you mention Iman on its own, it covers the meaning of Islam and Iman. Okay. But when you mention the two together, then they carry the slightly different understandings, if that makes sense. So, like in this hadith, if you mention the Prophet mentioned Islam about the five pillars, and he mentioned about Iman about the pillars of faith. So when the two men are mentioned together, they carry slightly different meanings. But if you mention one of the terms alone, then it covers everything. Okay, so just a bit of a technical point, but kind of interesting. إذ اجتمع افترقا وإذ افترقا اجتمع. That's in Arabic, the term. But when they're mentioned together, the two terms, they have slightly different meanings. But when each one term is mentioned separately, they carry both meanings. Okay. It seems a bit technical, but it's actually useful when you see a text and then you see, okay, well, what is it actually referring to? And then it will make sense, hopefully. Okay. And but that understanding seems, Allahu Alam, seems clearer. And that's what Sheikh Abdul Razak was saying. And then this ayah obviously also explains it. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. The Bedouins say that we have believed. So they just literally become Muslim. And they said, we believe. آمنا. Say you have not yet believed. So you haven't reached that level yet. ولكن قولوا أسلمنا. But say instead we have submitted. أسلمنا. For faith has not yet entered your hearts. Okay. So here the two terms are mentioned together. They're referring to slightly different things. I hope that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So you can see it as in terms of level. So every mu'min is a Muslim because you have to be Muslim and then you go up and reach the level of Islam. But not every Muslim is a mu'min. So you may have submitted and done the actions, but you haven't gone up to that level of faith to be a mu'min. If your belief and iman is sound, then your actions must be as well, right? And the hadith, there's a hadith, indeed in the body is a mudgha, is a piece of flesh. If it is sound, then the entire body is sound. And if it is corrupt, then the entire body is corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart. It is the heart. So if your heart and your iman is sound, then your actions must be sound. Okay. What about the opposite? If the actions are sound, does that necessarily mean your heart is good? Not necessarily exactly. As is clear, hopefully. So if someone is outwardly doing actions of Islam, does that necessarily mean he's a mu'min, he has that firm belief? Not necessarily. Okay. Does that make sense? Yeah. Hopefully that's clear, inshallah. And so this is now just Shaykh Abdullah goes into the detail about the hadith, which is nice, okay? So the hadith of Jibreel is a very famous hadith. And he mentioned that Jibreel alayhi salam came in the form of a Bedouin man asking questions so that people would learn, okay? And the narration in Bukhari is Abu Huraira. And the narration in Muslim, which goes, Sahih Muslim, which goes into more detail, is narrated by Umar radiallahu anhu. And the hadith of Muslim mentions that he had shadidu bayad al-thiyab, shadidu sawad al-sha'r, if I remember the wording right, that he had very white clothing and he had very dark hair. La yura alayhi athar al-safar, wa la ya'rifuhu minna ahad. That he didn't have the signs of travel on him, the dust and whatever, and no one recognized him. So this is a very bizarre situation in those days, that either some new guys come, then you'll see that he's obviously got dust and he's traveled, or if he's from there, someone would know him. Yeah, that's how things were in those days. And then he sat right in front of the Prophet. He connected Basnad Rukbatehi La Rukbatehi. He sat right up against him and he put his hands on his thighs and then he asked him. And the Prophet, at the beginning, he was sitting amongst the people, and that's how the Prophet would be. He would sit amongst them, they would ask him, he would explain, and that's how they would learn. And as we said, Jibreel was asking these questions, even though he knew the answer, so that people could learn from him. And then he mentioned a nice point that, you know, when you ask a question, that is actually a form of taqarrub. It's a good thing if you obviously do it in the right way with the right intention. Okay, someone might have other intentions for asking. He might want to spread confusion, or he might want to put forward his point of view, which is not right. Or whatever, or he might want to look impressive or something like that. And obviously that's not right. And there is a whole etiquette. Obviously this is something you appreciate when, you know, you hear questions and answers, you know, with the scholars, that there's a whole etiquette of asking questions in the right way, for the right reason, and so on. Seeking the right objective. So that's just a nice point, okay? And if someone asks questions in a good way, then that can bring about a great deal of benefit. Okay, obviously the companions benefited when Jibreel asked those questions. And he just mentioned also the story of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyya. Does anyone know, do you know what happened? Aqidah Al-Wasatiyya?
Yeah,
yeah. 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 That's right, exactly, yeah. That's right, yeah, exactly. So Ibn Taymiyyah was traveling and he was stopped off in Wasat, which I think is in Iran, modern day Iran, I think. I'm not sure actually. But he stopped off at this place, and one of the scholars there, I said, please, could you write this nice, like a summary of the aqidah, the beliefs that we should have? And initially he was like, no, you've got the books of the Salaf and you've got the, you don't need me to write anything. But then he insisted, and then he said, all right then. So he sat down and wrote it. I think it's between Asr and Maghrib, if I remember right. So he just literally sat down and write, in a few hours or in a couple of hours, he wrote this amazing book of Aqidah, which, has stood the test of time. So that was the so inshallah, the one who asked him that question to do that will inshallah also get the reward as well. Conversely, if someone has a bad intention, then it doesn't work out well. Okay, so then he goes on to what is iman. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied that faith or iman is to believe in Allah, His angels, the meeting with Him, His apostles, and to believe in the resurrection. So the first thing he mentioned was belief in Allah, the most important and fundamental thing, aspect of belief, and then everything stems from that, obviously. Okay. So what are the key things that we need to believe with regards to Allah? Since this, we should all know this, hopefully. Any idea? Yeah. But what do we believe when we say that we believe in Allah? What are the things we should? What's the more detail that you can give? What do we need to believe in when it comes to Allah? Online, if there's anyone could answer. Oh no, it's come back. Didn't want the answer to come. Hope you didn't see that.
Iman.
Sorry, go on. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
It's not so fast. Can
Yeah,
you hear
that's
me?
right. Actually, the answer just flashed up, unfortunately. But yeah. So the rububiyyah and uluhiyyah and asma wa sifat.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So first that, and he just mentioned it in this order that Allah is our Rabb, and that He has His names and attributes, and that only Allah is worthy of worship, which follows from the first two. Okay. And then the angels, so obviously we believe in the angels, that they are a creation of Allah. They are Allah's junood. He refers to them as Allah's his troops or His workers. And we believe in their names, their characteristics, the number of angels, the specific tasks that they do, both in general terms and in the specific detail that we've received from the Quran and Sunnah. Okay. We believe in the meeting with Allah. So we will stand before Allah on the Day of Judgment, and we will be recompensed. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعَبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. So whoever would hope for the meeting with his Lord, let him do righteous work and not associate in the worship of his Lord anyone. May he not commit shirk at all in worshipping Allah. Okay? So فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. So that word is used, meeting Allah. And then belief in the messengers. We believe that they were sent by Allah with the truth and that they conveyed the message. They directed us to any form of good that's there. They directed us to it and warned us from any form of evil that's there. And we believe in all the details that are mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah about the messengers. And then we believe in the resurrection. The narration of Umar gave more detail, giving the full six pillars about the books and also to belief in Qadr, it's good and it's bad. Okay. And then he was asked about Islam, and so he mentioned first and foremost to worship Allah alone and no one else. Okay. Now in the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, the Prophet answered with the Shahadatain, Tashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So the benefit we get that these explain one another. So the meaning of Shahada, La ilaha illallah, is that we worship Allah alone and no one else. Okay. And also the concept of negation and affirmation is there. Yeah. So that we worship Allah alone and not anyone else. Or la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah. Okay, so that's the key thing about the Shahadatain. And then he mentioned prayer, zakat, and fasting. And Hajj wasn't mentioned in this narration, but it's mentioned in the other narration. And also in the hadith of Bunya al-Islamu ala Khams, that Islam is built upon five pillars. Okay. And then he asks about Ihsan. It is to worship Allah as though you see him. And if you cannot achieve this state of devotion, then you must remember or consider that he sees you. Okay. And this is the highest level of the deen, the Ihsan. It's like perfection, or the best way, the best level of Islam, that you do your devotion or your acts of worship or live your life remembering that Allah, as though you could see Allah. And if you can't reach that level, at least remember that Allah sees you. And that will obviously fill you with khushu and humility and fear of Allah and so on. And those are the two levels. Yeah? So that makes sense. Hopefully, yeah? That makes sense, yeah? And then the next part of the hadith, so Jibreel alayhi salam asked, when will the hour be established? Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, the one answering knows no better than the one who's asking, but I will tell you about its signs, its portents. When a slave lady or slave girl gives birth to her master, and the second one, when the shepherds of black camels start boasting and competing with others in this construction of tall buildings. And the hour is one of the five things which no one knows about except Allah. And then the Prophet recited the ayah. So when will the hour be established? Only Allah knows. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقْتِهَا إِلَّا هُوَ. They ask you about the hour. When is its arrival? Say, its knowledge is only with my Lord. None will reveal its time except him. And there are signs, obviously signs of the hour. There's the major and minor signs. فَهَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا السَّاعَةَ أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَقَدْ جَاءَ أَشْرَاطُهَا. Then do they wait except that the hour should come upon them unexpectedly? But already there have come some of its signs. And there are the minor signs and the major signs. The major signs are very close to the hour. And there's a narration where the analogy is given of a string of beads, that when you cut the end of it, then the beads will fall off one by one. So when the major signs start, they will follow in succession. And a point will be reached in that process, after which repentance won't be of any benefit. Okay, so يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا. The day that some of the signs of your Lord will come, no soul will benefit from its faith as long as it had not believed before or had earned through its faith some good. Okay? And then the minor signs, many of these signs have actually happened. Actually, there's just a side point. There's a book over there about signs of the hour. And it's got lists of based on hadith. Obviously, so many of the minor signs have happened. It's quite terrifying, actually. But the two mentioned here, that when a slave lady gives birth to her master, and the scholars have explained this, that what Shaykh al-Razak mentions, at least here, is that in the early part of Islam, there'd be many captives, people who'd be captured and initially would be slaves, and then they might be freed, or their children would be free. So their children would be free people who, compared to them when they were, compared to their parents who were captives. So with that understanding, that's already happened. And the second example is the shepherds of black camels start boasting and competing with one another in the building of tall buildings. And in the hadith of Muslim, that you'll see the barefoot, naked shepherds. So a similar kind of concept will compete in building tall buildings. And this is obviously happening now. It's obviously happened to a significant extent. And obviously there are skyscrapers all over the world. And there's one will be built and then another one will be built and break that record and then another. And you might have heard something recently in the news as well, relevant to that. So, yeah. And then these are the five things which I've referred to. إن الله عنده علم الساعة وينزل الغيث ويعلم ما في الأرحام وما تدري نفس ماذا تكسب غدا وما تدري نفس بأي أرض تموت إن الله عليم خبير. Indeed, Allah alone has knowledge of the hour and sends down the rain and knows what is in the wombs. And no soul perceives what it will earn tomorrow, and no soul knows in which land it will die. Indeed, Allah is knowing and aware. So these are the examples of things from the unseen which are mentioned. And then the Prophet at the end, he said, try and go and try and find him, to the companions, and they couldn't find him. And that was obviously, then he explained that what that was Jibreel alayhi salam, who came to teach you your religion. So all of these parts, all of these things which are mentioned are part of the deen, Islam, Iman, and Ihsan. And that's it.